Welcome back, everyone. This is the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast. I'm your host, Scott, joined by Rich with your average everyday Chiefs talk. All of our episodes are available on all major podcast platforms. Just look or search for the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast, as well as you can search for us on various social media pages such as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. All right, Rich, well, we had a long weekend of no Chiefs football, but I guess I want your take on how did your Thanksgiving go?
Good. I always tell everyone that definitely ate too much, but that's the point. I think it's the one holiday where you can say that, and it's perfectly fine. So, had a ton of turkey, so a ton of ham. I'm a big lover of mashed potatoes and rolls. I usually don't put gravy on it. I know that's weird, but I ate a lot of mashed potatoes, so that's my stuff. How about yours?
Man, I'll tell you what, you are a simple guy, because I was going to ask you the same. I'm just kind of the same. So I was going to ask you if you are more of a turkey or a ham guy.
So that's a good question, because this is the first year I've had both kind of turkeys. Now, what I mean both is, I guess there's three kind. So there's the baked in an oven, they're smoked, and then there's, let's say, deep fried. So I had a smoked and a, regular baked. The baked was, just typical. The smoked was really good. I'm a huge barbecue fan, so it had a little bit of the smoke flavor, but it had that tenderness that you get from low and slow. Right. So I was impressed with that. But, man, a good ham, because it's so much more dressed up, right, you get much more within the meat. You get much more flavor in the meat as opposed to a turkey.
Right.
So I think if someone said you can only have one of these two things, I think I would go with the ham because of its versatility and flavor.
I agree with that. No, I it's funny that you mentioned all that, differences that you can have as far as, cooking a turkey and all that. I'm the same way. As far as if I had to choose, it's definitely ham. I think it's just because I don't know if it's just I got maybe tired of turkey over time or whatnot. And just like, I don't really care for it as much as probably as I used to, but I would have to say definitely ham, because that's normally, what I have for maybe for like Christmas even too. I think that a lot of people actually have ham for Christmas, but as far as I had to choose between one, I think I'd definitely say ham too as well. But, as far as what you were mentioning, as far as like mashed potatoes and rolls, man, I'm like right there with you. Cause like, I'm like that as well. Like, gotta have lots of mashed potatoes.
I'm the one that's assigned to, I shouldn't say assigned, but I guess I volunteer myself to make the mashed potatoes for my family.
Right.
And so I make them exactly how I like them. And man, they turned out pretty good. Like, everyone was like, dang, these mashed potatoes are good. And that's not just because, like I said, I made them. I had mashed potatoes in the morning, and at a different, let's say, at my girlfriend's parents' house, and I love them there. I always go back for like seconds and thirds, but I always tell everyone that one of the underrated ways to eat mashed potatoes is literally spread some in between your rolls, kind of make yourself like a mashed potato burger.
That's greatness. I haven't done that too much, but yeah, I could definitely see that being a pretty good experience doing it that way as well. I was gonna say, yeah, it's kind of hard to mess up mashed potatoes unless they're like really lumpy or like just not really that good.
Yeah, don't put any seasoning in it. Like, I've had some where you put no seasoning, and it's like, I mean, it's good because potatoes are just good, with a little bit of salt.
Right.
But yeah, mine. I would say if you like KFC mashed potatoes, which I do. I love their seasoning.
Me too.
That's what mine tastes like. So
perfect. The next year I might have some of yours. There you go. No, but that's good. No, I'm glad. It sounded like I said, yours went pretty well, and I'm sure as far as we didn't have to talk about Chiefs for a week and got to enjoy actually all the football on Thanksgiving, which actually wasn't really that great. especially the first game.
Yeah, the tradition of watching the Lions
lose. Yeah. The Cowboys and Raiders game was interesting to a point, but it was like so many penalties and everything. It just I don't know. And then of course the night game, Saints and Bills, right?
Blowout.
Yeah. I just wasn't as great as I thought it would. So like, yeah, it was kind of good to kind of a little bit sit back and enjoy other games and didn't have to worry too much about who the Chiefs might be playing or anything this past week. So that was good. But I do have one kind of thing to bring up before we actually go into our actual midseason, you know, review that we wanted to do here for some time. And that is one of the famous Chiefs players from the Super Bowl IV winning team, Curly Culp, passed away due to this was cancer, right?
Yeah, I think so.
That he actually just announced it like not even about 2 weeks prior that he had cancer, and unfortunately he had passed away the other day. So just remembering him, and he was one of 9 players from that Super Bowl team in the Hall of Fame, 6-time Pro Bowler, and I think Defensive Player of the Year 1 year as well. But I mean, obviously, we weren't born yet whenever he played, but just, you know, seeing some of the highlights or some of the reels that they were showing from him, he seemed like he was a pretty underrated dominant player back in his time.
Yeah, I was reading that. So he was a really good wrestler. That, you know, probably makes sense as to why he was such a good defensive lineman. And he was one of the first 3-4 defensive linemen or defensive linemen from, let's say, when teams first started playing that scheme. So mm-hmm. That's a pretty cool thing to know about him.
Yeah. And so I had a thing where I've been wanting to do an actual authentic like football and just get actually authentic football. Like it has a Hall of Fame on it, right? The Hall of Fame logo and all that. And just get the Chiefs Hall of Famers that are not only obviously a Chiefs Hall of Fame, but actually in the NFL Hall of Fame, and just get those names on one football. And he happened to be one of them that I got to sign the ball about a couple months ago. I want to say 3 months ago. I think I got him, Juan Stenerud, and Will Shields. I got those three to start the ball, and actually had a couple other ones here recently that I wanted to get to add to it, because the Chiefs only have, I think, I want to say around 11 or 12 that are actually in the Hall of Fame that are you know, actual NFL Hall of Fame and Chiefs Hall of Fame, because I wanted to make sure that it wasn't just like, oh, they're just in the Chiefs Hall of Fame. I wanted to make sure that this ball, they were on both to kind of get all of them. So I was kind of, so I kind of wanted to have something kind of special. And, you know, just to see that I'm like, dang, I just got him on this ball like not too long ago. And then, you know, he passes away recently. It just kind of makes you think like just a lot of these, some of these players that the Chiefs had way back when during Super Bowl IV or other great teams in the past, you know, they're obviously up there in age, but it's just like, you know, a lot of them still have lived really good lives. And it's just kind of crazy how I had gotten it on that ball, and, you know, now he's no longer here, and, you know, you couldn't do it today, right, or anything like that. So it's just kind of interesting how you kind of look at things like that from that perspective.
Yeah, definitely.
So moving on to our mid-season review for the Chiefs. Obviously, going into the bye, we're 7-4. Being the fourth seed, going into the bye and still the fourth seed after the bye, with you know, the Ravens still at the top, Patriots number 2, and the Titans at number 3, which I believe they dropped 2 spots, I think, originally from the bye week after their loss. So, Going into the second half of our season, which we only have 6 games left, I figured we'd do a little position ranking breakdown by positions we'll start off with. So obviously the first position we have is quarterback, and we're gonna do this time is we're gonna do like Rich will do a position and I will do a position kind of all the way through the roster. So obviously we're starting with quarterback, and we'll start with you, Rich, on your grades and. Well, obviously, there's only one player in quarterback, so you can't really do a best player, underperforming player, but just go with a quarterback, and then I'll start with running backs.
Yeah, so to kick off our mid-year grades or half-season grades, whatever you want to call it, of course, Patrick Mahomes gets basically this entire grade, and for me, I gave him a C+. Ball security, Some forced throws, decision making, let's say, is what lowered his typical elite grade. Despite those things, and this is why I gave him the plus, he's still top five in yards and in touchdowns, unfortunately, also in interceptions. So to me, I'd give our quarterback a C-plus mid-year grade. Moving on to running backs.
All right, so running backs, overall grade, I gave it a B-minus. Most of it being, obviously, our starter, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, coming into the season and not performing as I would expect him to kind of perform in his second year. You know, obviously, he's been hurt a little bit this year. So I actually give it a B minus because A, I did like to see the performance from Darrell Williams, who actually I have as the best player out of that position right now on our team, for the running back, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire being the most underperforming one at the moment. But Darrell Williams has obviously broken out, you know, from that pack that we've seen so far from a running back. So, and obviously he has 358 yards on the season with four touchdowns. Just has played really excellent so far for that. I obviously we'll talk about him maybe a little bit later here in this episode about you know, as far as snap counts and whatnot. But I'd say, yeah, as far as on running backs, it's a B minus grade for me so far. So on to wide receivers, Rich.
All right, for wide receivers, I gave this unit a C. Tyreek gets an A. Everyone else gets an F. Inconsistent hands, inconsistent route running, and no one else really stepping up and taking hold of that number two spot on a consistent basis is why I gave that entire unit a C. Tyreek has been, to me, his best year so far in the NFL. I think his numbers reflect it and how he plays, which is something I've always been critical on. So that's why I give Tyreek an A and the rest of the group an F, and it averages out to a C.
Easy math.
Right.
All right, so with the tight ends, automatic A from me. I mean, obviously you got Travis Kelce, and what can you say more? You know, so far he's got 67 catches on the year with 820 yards, five touchdowns. Still the best tight end in the league. You know, outside of him on our team, I mean, we have, you know, Blake Bell, who mostly is in there for just, you know, blocking downs for the most part. Noah Gray, we haven't seen a whole lot. You know, hopefully we'll get to see him a little bit more this year. And then obviously we had Jody Fortson, who went down with that injury early in the season, and, you know, we'd like to see him play more. But, yeah, no question there. I think for tight ends is an automatic A for me.
Makes sense. That's undisputed. All right. This is how I know I'm getting old, because I get excited for offensive line talk. This is never a position I would have talked about even 5 years ago, definitely not 10 or 15. But now that I'm older, smarter, and I appreciate the important things in life. So offensive line for me gets a B+. It's an entirely new unit. Well, it was a new unit, right? We now have a player that played a little bit on the right tackle spot last year. So, yeah, B+, entirely new unit. They've struggled with giving up pressures. We were, and I think we still are, within the top 10 of allowed pressures, as well as hurries and all that stuff. But the sack count isn't as bad as you would think. And again, right, a new unit that had to gel together with Orlando Brown, Joe Thuney, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, Lucas Niang, and Andrew Wiley. But they've really come along, and I think they're really starting to gel, despite, like I said, the fact that they get given up a lot of pressures in hurries. They haven't given up that many sacks, and have faced an amazing gauntlet of the NFL's best defensive lines and have held their own for the most part. So, like I said, B plus given, because it's that benefit of the doubt that we have a very new unit and we have a rookie that is technically – graded as the best rookie overall, period, but the best center in the NFL at the moment. So that's awesome, and that's why I'm hyped about that group and that grade.
I can't argue that at all. Yeah, offensive line has just been so great this year, you know, kind of surprisingly well, for sure. especially the rookies. As far as on the defensive line goes, I gave it a B minus overall. I would give it actually probably more so closer to a B plus if the line was, or defensive line was playing the way it's playing now all season, just because they had started out late and it obviously hadn't played well up until about 5 weeks ago, 5 or 6 weeks ago. I would say that's when they kind of started kicking off, you know, playing well as a unit on defensive line front. Obviously, Chris Jones and Frank Clark are playing really well as of right now. Obviously, Melvin Ingram, who we got, actually kind of excelled their play into how they're playing now, especially been able to morally, you know, able to transfer downs as far as like, you know, Mike Dana can come in for a little bit, Alex Okafor can come in for a little bit. But yeah, I'd have to say B minus. I will say the interior part is kind of also rising, kind of gave it that B minus. You know, obviously, Jaron Reed, you haven't heard his name a whole lot this year. You have a little bit here in the last few games. Derek Nnadi has kind of been still another disappointment, at least for me. He hasn't really, I haven't heard his name called a whole lot. But I'd say just a B minus overall, just because how they're playing now. But I think that B minus could turn into more of an A by the end of the year, depending on the consistency of how they're going at the moment.
That all makes sense to me. All right, so getting into the linebackers, I gave this unit a C+. Hitchens has been doing well. Maybe started out rough. It's gotten better. But the amount of snaps that Ben Neiman got, that's what dropped it down for me, especially at the beginning of the year. We're always late to things, out of position, making poor tackles. We led the league in all kinds of missed tackles and stuff at several positions. But that, to me, always starts with the linebackers. Now, once we got Willie Gay back, he added some athleticism. Nick Bolton started playing a lot more, his breakout game being the game where he literally stuffed Derrick Henry so many times. So for me, that's why I gave them the plus, is Bolton and Gay's potential as well as production as they got more time, whether it was through just experience or coming back from an injury. That's a unit that I'm really excited to see their development and their growth, especially as just this year goes on.
Yeah, awesome. Especially with the young linebackers, I'm looking forward to it more this year too as well. So as far as on the cornerbacks go, my grade for the cornerbacks, how well they've been playing this year, I think no doubt A-. Especially with the way Rashad Fenton's playing. He's been ranked or graded as one of the top cornerbacks in the league right now. I think, if I'm not mistaken, top five as far as one of the cornerbacks this year. And then obviously Snead is starting to play even just as good as he was his rookie year last year. And then Jarvarius Ward, he's had some off games, but he's also had some pretty great games, I think, as well. So, you know, going A minus with the cornerbacks, there's no, I just don't see how you could even grade it less than that. Obviously, there was one big disappointment. I thought that the trade with, you know, Minnesota we made with for Mike Hughes, I thought he would be playing a little bit better, but he's been kind of slightly disappointment as far as playing on defense. But overall, I mean, like I said, you can't go wrong with having Fenton, Snead, and Ward as your three cornerbacks. So that's why I give him an A-.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and nowadays you need a lot of good corners, right? Because of the amount of passes being thrown in modern day NFL.
Correct.
All right. So wrapping up the defensive positions, the safeties, I gave them a B. The easiest way to explain this is once Sorensen stopped playing so much, the grade went up. More of Juan Thornhill once he seemed to have gotten out the doghouse. He's been really, really good from a coverage perspective as well as, you know, run support. And then Tyrann Mathieu, after getting healthy, he's been really good. I mean, his tackling is as good as it was the year that we won the Super Bowl. Aggressive, you know, just overall what we're paying Tyrann Mathieu for, he's literally delivering on every aspect of the game. So for me, a B, like I said, because Sorensen probably dropped it down so low.
Yeah.
The play of Thornhill and Matthew raised it up and saved it. So
I could say the same thing. It's like what you were saying for wide receivers. It's like, you know, one player brings it up, but then if the rest of the other group can bring it that great down. So I understand that on
the part as well. Now, let's say like the last, what, four games, that's probably also an A unit, right? Our entire secondary has been really, really good. So, mm-hmm. And the entire defense has been good, right? So,
correct. Yep.
And then special teams, what special teams look like?
All right. I wouldn't say the least favorite, but it probably doesn't get this most, most attention anyway, special teams. I have them as a solid B. Obviously, when I put this in perspective, I'm talking about kicker, punter, and like return game. So, Bud Kerr is probably the reason why I would, it could be more, but because Bud Kerr obviously is 15 to 18 on field goals this year. So, it's 83% chance. And he's, as far as making field goals this year, and he's 32 of 33, which is 97% extra points. So, we know in this league that a lot of kickers are missing extra points now. So for him to only miss one extra point, I'm sorry, but that's pretty damn good. So obviously, if I was just rating Bud Kerr, I would probably say A+. He's obviously one of the best kickers in the league. As far as Townsend, a lot better than his rookie year last year. So he's improved. The reason why I'd say a B for me is because of the return game. Hardman has been a big disappointment once again. It's like, you know, as far as punt returns, it's what's kind of brought the grade down for me. Now, obviously, we've been playing Mike Hughes now as our punt return as well. So we'll see, you know, if that continues, because he's only played, I think, I want to say two or three games back there on punt since Hardman hasn't. Byron Pringle being the kick returner, I would, you know, obviously he's not done bad. I'd say he's done, you know, average, if maybe above average at best. He does give us sometimes, you know, some extra yards there in kickoff than we would if he would just take it from the 25. So, yep, solid B, I would say, from the special teams group. So, as far as overall grades, so we did by positions, but now we kind of just do it as a whole. I was going to start with the offense. So, the offense as a whole, I gave it a B-, and the only reason I gave it a B- is because our offense seems to still be – it's inconsistent. Like, as far as the beginning of the year was pretty – it's just like some games that they click and some games they haven't clicked. And, you know, obviously – and I'll get into the defense here in a second after, Rich, you get your grade. But I just give it a B- just because I don't think the offense is still quite there what they were, you know, even a year ago, or even 2 years ago. I just don't think it's there yet. It could very well could be in those last six games, but I still think they have a lot to work on, and that's why I still give it a B-.
Yeah, and for me, I gave them a C+. The turnovers, inconsistent ball security, while still being among the best in several of the major categories, is what gave me that. Let's say is what gave them the plus. But I think just the high expectation that not only we have as fans, but the entire NFL and obviously the players have of themselves and what we've seen in previous years kind of moves the bar for you, right? I think we grade the Chiefs on a different scale, the Chiefs offense on a different scale than everyone else.
Yeah.
As seen by the, you know, harsh criticism of everybody on Patrick Mahomes. He's been so great his first few years that when he, I guess, was having a down year, which is still better than, what, 27 other quarterbacks in the NFL. You know, we're saying he's done, he's finished, he's figured out all this stuff. But in reality, it's like, I mean, he's still doing really, really well. He just isn't being amazing. So for me, C+, because of, like you said, some inconsistent games, the turnovers, the inconsistent ball security. But when this offense is going and they're hitting on every cylinder now with a – which should be Patrick Mahomes' line for the next, at minimum, 3 years. And as they get better, as the season goes on, you know, this offense is going to get back to being amazing. So C+ with, you know, some low scores every other week and then just some amazing games where they put it together and they were great as seen against the Raiders.
All right. Yeah, I totally agree. I too agree with exactly what you had said, too, about the offense on that. So defense, and here's one that if we would have graded this maybe, I don't know, by game six or game seven, it would be an F. It would be, I mean, it literally would be an F because they had the worst defense to start the year. Heck, even to, I'm trying to remember what game it was they turned around, but it was like, obviously, it was like into, you know, six or seven games. I think it was the Tennessee game. So, yeah, seven games. If you were to grade it through week seven, I would easily give them an F as far as on defense. But they've turned it around since the last four games. So I brought it up, obviously. I'm going to give it a B. I was going to give it a B+, but I'm going to give it a B for now. I'm kind of in between that because of how well they played recently. It's kind of got the grade way up for me. Because obviously I think our defense has turned in from, like, obviously really bad, probably one of the worst defenses I've seen in a long time, to almost back to how our championship defense was. I wouldn't quite go there yet. Obviously it's only been four games, but it's definitely improved, but I'd stick with the B just because obviously we're starting to get some turnovers. Our defensive line is starting to be where they, you know, were with Clark and Jones, what we expected them to do, get pressure. The addition of Melvin Ingram at that same time a couple years ago when we got Suggs, you know, he kind of boosted that defensive line. And just, yeah, it's just, I think we're starting to play that kind of defense that we're used to seeing the Chiefs play, you know, towards the end of the season we've seen the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, for me, same thing as the offense. I gave him a C+. All the things you mentioned are same things that make me give him this grade. I think those first few weeks were just so bad that, I mean, if there was a such thing as an F-, you'd give him that. I mean, and just looking over their current rankings, if I'm not mistaken, they are like top 10 in rushing and top 15 in passing now.
Incredible.
Which, I mean, that turnaround in that short amount of time has been great. So that, to me, is same thing as the offense, right? The good thing is, unlike the offense, they were just consistently bad at the beginning, and they've been consistently good every single game since, like you mentioned, the Titans game. Whereas in the offense has been like good game, bad game, good game, bad game. So we should only be going up from here, right? We got two games versus the Broncos. We got to play Justin Herbert at the Chargers and Joe Burrow and the Bengals, who are two really good quarterbacks. But the rest are against teams with quarterbacks who seem to struggle. So I see that continued trajectory upwards continuing. Standouts like Jones playing defensive tackle again, Frank Clark stepping it up and being the player who we traded for from Seattle, as well as getting Willie Gay healthy, you know, are some of the reasons why this defense has gotten better.
Yeah, totally agree with that as well. So in special teams, I already actually did my kind of special teams grade with the B. So I'd actually kind of like to hear what you have to say as far as what you give.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what I have down as well. Right. I mean, just a few missed field goals, an extra point miss. Yeah. There's been some turnovers, right, from Hardman, and Hughes on returns and stuff like that. But aside from that, it's a pretty solid unit. Mike Tobe has those boys, always ready and playing good. And if I'm not mistaken, I couldn't find it. But I don't think we've given up a punt or a kick return this year, right?
No, we haven't.
Yeah, so that's always a good thing. I also gave them a B for special teams.
Sweet. So overall, I went with a B. So as far as what the Chiefs' performance overall for the season so far, you know, obviously we start off the season – you know, back and forth as far as being 500, under 500. And then obviously we've been on that four game tear recently, you know, now to be 7-4. So I feel like it's a B because it's kind of like, it's not great, but it's not bad. Like, I mean, this year could be a lot worse. And also could be a lot better. I mean, depending on some of the games that were close that we lost early in the year with the Chargers and the Ravens game, you could be looking at 9-2 right now. It could be, like I said, it obviously could be better, but it could be a lot worse. So I feel with a solid B is my grade for the team so far this year.
Yeah, and I'm right under that. I mean, I've said a lot of C's and C pluses. So just by counting things and doing simple math, it would be kind of ludicrous of me to say anything more than a B. So I'm going to go with the C plus that I have down here. You know, just a lot of inconsistencies, a new offensive line that's gelling, a defense that was beat up, uncertainties with who's going to be our number two wide receiver and really step up, and we're still kind of figuring that out. But to your point, I mean, it's the sky is no longer falling, which at some point I think we were kind of thinking that it might have been. And we are good. I think every Chiefs fan feels much better than what we did like 5 weeks ago or something like that. So, you know, the key to being good in the NFL isn't so much to be hot at the beginning of the year. It's to be hot as you head into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I think this team resembles so much that Super Bowl winning team, as well as even just last year's Super Bowl winners in the Bucs, right, and getting hot in the second half. So we're figuring out when we need to, and hopefully we close out these six games strong, end up with a really high seed, so the road to the Super Bowl comes through Kansas City. But yeah, that C-plus grade is where I'm at.
Sounds good. Like I said, anything that you had said, I can't argue with as well. I mean, I totally agree with that. Like I said, either being the C or the B, I think it's right in there. It really is. There isn't any wrong. As long as you're not saying we're an F or an A, I think you're probably good, because I don't think we're deserving of those grades either way on that part. So this next topic is kind of, we were kind of discussing this early, kind of how to make this or whatnot, but I think we kind of just ended up as what we thought is, you know, maybe a surprise, or what you kind of think of something that might have happened on the offense or defensive side of the ball that you weren't really anticipating, or something might happen. So my offensive one, because I think you were going to do the defensive one, the offensive surprise that I have is when we picked up Josh Gordon, I really felt that, obviously not right away, he would be incorporated into our offense, you know, within a week or two of him signing. I felt like they'd obviously give him some time, get used to the playbook a little bit better, you know, get him up to game shape, speed, and that sort. But, you know, we're sitting here now at, I think this is now, I want to say week 7 or week 8 that we've had him, somewhere around there. It's either week, I want to say week 7 that we've, since we've signed him. And he's just been a sort of afterthought. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just saying, I don't know what it is with him as far as, because he's getting snap count, he's getting snaps. It just seems like every single time that he's in the game, and I'm not trying to be even funny on this as well, it's almost like when he's in the game, you can predict that it's going to be a run. Because, like, I would say literally 80, 85% of the time I see him in there, it is a run, because he's either blocking on one side or the other. And it's just like, it kind of just baffles me to see, like, someone like that. Yeah, obviously he was great back in, what, 6, 7 years ago with the Browns, you know, and hasn't really, and he's been in and out of the, you know, the NFL recently with different things going on. But as far as him, you know, getting catches, getting targets, it's just kind of shocking that he hasn't been involved with the offense more than I thought he would be at this point. Maybe now that there's been a bye week, they actually, you know, have installed maybe some actual plays for him. I know they said that a long time ago, that they had certain plays lined up for him. We haven't seen that yet. So with him being, like I said, like a huge, tall target for us, you know, could be a really good red zone weapon for us as well. I just expect to see a little bit more out of him just out there blocking. That's pretty much how I put it right now, because I think he's more than just a blocking wide receiver. So that is probably, as far as on offensive side, kind of surprised that, you know, just didn't really expect to see how it is right now. I would have thought it would have seen more from him by now. But is that him? Is the coaching staff? You know, we got 6 games left to see, and hopefully playoffs to see what we can see from Josh Gordon on that side. So as far as on the defensive side, I think you had something you were talking about as far as on the defensive line, I believe.
Yeah. So for me, the biggest surprise was Chris Jones's performance at defensive end. When they first talked about the switch, I, you know, immediately thought of Aaron Donald and how the Rams move him everywhere. And thought, well, of course he's not going to be, let's say, AD good, but I think it could work. He got slimmer. He lost some weight. I was like, you know, it's the tackle that he'll be facing is the best player on the offensive line. So it's, you know, muscle against muscle. But, yeah, he just didn't do good. The first game of the season versus Brown, he had two sacks. If I'm not mistaken, both of them were in the second half, and they were when he was inside. And we've seen, you know, lately within the last four games, he has 4.5 sacks out of his 6.5 on the season, if I'm not mistaken, if my numbers don't fail me. So, yeah, I mean, I just thought he was going to be a little bit more impactful. And at the end of the day, just watch, like, forget about numbers, right? Just watching him, he just wasn't comfortable. He just wasn't fast enough. And like I said, tackles are amazing nowadays. I mean, they've always been amazing, but they're really, really good. And he just looked really out of place in run support. It was a whole different situation for him. So I'm glad that his snaps at defensive end have gone down and his snap count at defensive tackle has gone up because he's all pro there when he plays there. So again, right, Chris Jones' performance at defensive end was a big surprise for me.
Yep, can't sit there and argue about that one. I'm glad that they had put him back to where he's actually better at, where he's been all pro at too. You know, put him back inside. All right, so then our next to last topic we have for our review is kind of like, you know, what one or two players that we kind of might have saw that, you know, maybe is deserving of more snaps the second half of the year or maybe even less snaps. So as far as there's one person that I thought that should deserve at least more snaps going in is the safety, Armani Watts. And what I mean, I feel like he deserves more snaps. In the Raiders game, he actually got a decent amount of snaps 3 weeks ago. And he actually played pretty well. I think he actually almost had an interception that he had dropped. There towards, I believe it was towards the end of the game, but, you know, I just like to see him play a lot more. He's been on the team now for a few years, and all this, obviously he's a great special teams player. I've seen him make some really great tackles on punt returns and whatsoever, but, you know, I'd like to see him, you know, get a little bit more time in there in the secondary. Obviously, I don't think he's obviously going to take some snaps away from Juan Thornhill because Juan Thornhill is playing pretty great. And he's not going to take many snaps away from Daniel Sorensen because of how Daniel Sorensen can play kind of like a linebacker, but also he can play deep as well, which I think a Watts is more of just that coverage safety. He's not more so a guy that you might see blitz in coverage or someone that can play towards up the line of scrimmage like Sorensen or even Tyrann Mathieu. But I would say I'd like to see Armani Watts maybe have a little bit more snap count, see what he has in him. But every time I've seen him on the defense, I've seen him play a lot, even better, I think, at least, you know, than maybe Sorensen has played out there. But, I just like to see him get a little bit more increase in snaps, I would say. What about you, Rich?
So for me, the one that stands out, I mean, it's kind of, it happened because of injury, but I've been asking for it for years. And that's Darrell Williams. When Clyde Edwards-Helaire went down, Darrell Williams is basically our main back. And in my opinion, he delivered. He did well. I've always liked his style of play. He's kind of one of those, you know, finds the hole and hits it. Doesn't do much dancing. You know, he can catch by the obvious touchdown he posterized that Raider safety on. And like I said, he's just tougher, in my opinion, than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Now, I know the numbers show that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is more effective, so on and so forth, which I get. But like I said, it could be just more of a fan of the old school running back versus a little bit of the new school. So for me, it's seeing more carries, more, you know, touches of the ball by Darrell Williams, even now that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is back, which means obviously that Edwards-Helaire's snap count would go down. And I think that's fine. You know, it's good to have two backs that are effective and they can contribute for obvious reasons of injury, but it's also just a different dynamic that defenses have to prepare for. So that is my increase and decrease in snaps for the second half of the year.
So the last one I have I guess it wouldn't really say it could go either way with this. I had them as maybe you should have less snaps, but I guess I could look at it as into a positive way for the other guy. And what I'm kind of talking about is I'd like to see Nick Bolton. Obviously, he increased his snap count and kind of have Anthony Hitchens be a little bit less. And the main reason why I say that, nothing really towards Anthony Hitchens, but I feel like Nick Bolton has more speed at this point. Obviously, in Hitchens' career, he's obviously slower, but I feel like Bolton would be more of the guy that we should focus on playing more so now because of how Bolton played when Hitchens was out. And I feel like obviously when Hitchens came back from his injury, Bolton actually played a lot. He's played a little bit less snaps recently. But I feel like it'd be good to see Bolton in there a little bit more. And I'm not trying, and not, we're tra- not trying to say like, obviously like 15 or 20 snaps more, maybe even just like 10, like just maybe see like 10 more snaps of him there than Hitchens, because obviously they're kind of the same players. So you can't really have them both in at the same time. Certain packages, I think I've seen all three of them be in there with Hitchens, Bolton, Gay. But, just that was just one of those things is, obviously Bolton is still a rookie too as well. So it's probably why he's not getting as much as you would think over Hitchens. But I think even as a Chiefs fan base, what we've seen from Nick Bolton this year, who's, very well could win Defensive Rookie of the Year, but I probably don't think so because I think the Dallas Cowboys over there have two great defensive rookies that'll probably win that. But I just feel like he's going to be that future middle linebacker from him. He's played so great in his rookie season. Just like to see a little bit more snaps from him instead of Anthony Hitchens. So basically, with all that being said, we've kind of landed down to our last topic of our midseason recap review to focus on the last six games of the season. So it starts this Sunday night coming up against the Broncos. Yeah, it was an early afternoon game that got moved to into a Sunday night football game. So we get another additional primetime game, but it starts with the Broncos at home at Arrowhead. Then we also have the Raiders next week at Arrowhead. Then we have the Chargers left in L.A., Pittsburgh here at home again. And then we have, we finish out the year in Cincinnati and also in Denver. So those are the last six games that we have left. I guess just kind of touching base on those real quick. How do you feel you think like those games will probably go judging on how our team's played recently?
So for me, I may sound like a naive, super biased Chiefs fan now that they're playing really well and all that on both sides of the ball. But I'd have to make up reasons aside from the fact that they're just rivalry games to say that the Chiefs aren't going to win it. It's kind of hard to find reasons to talk myself out of, well, they could maybe lose a game, which, like mm-hmm. I said, of course you can. But no, I mean, I think, those are just, we're going to finish the season really, really strong. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of hard to find words to explain how not.
Right. No, I totally agree with that. So out of those six games we mentioned, four of those against divisional rivals. At this point we've only played we played the Raiders once and we played the Chargers once, obviously, yeah. We're 1-1 in those. So those are going to help our divisional record. It's going to boost our conference record, which is terrible right now, obviously, because of the teams that we've lost to. Yeah. I mean, I think outside of the division, the 1-1 record we have, I think our conference record is 1-4, I think, because we lost to the Ravens, 1-3, because we lost to the Ravens, Bills, and Titans, and we only beat the Browns. So those four will obviously increase our not only division record, but a conference record. And then we have obviously an opportunity with Cincinnati and Pittsburgh as well to increase that, because, obviously right now There's a lot of tiebreakers that we're not in favor of if the season were to end even right now, or, you know, a lot of these teams that were included are tied. So kind of what you were saying is, yeah, I mean, it's really kind of hard to say how things will kind of go, just because obviously your division rivals, it's any given Sunday for one. You have your rivals too. But as far as what I'm looking for, how are record wise for those six games, as I said 5-1, I think you said 5-1 as well, being that I have, if it's that one loss, I think it's going to be against the Chargers. And the reason why I say that is it's because it's a short week and it's a Thursday night game. And we know nobody likes Thursday night games as far as your favorite team, because they probably perform like crap, and especially on the road, right? Yeah. So I have it 5-1, and I have it also 4-2. And the reason why I say it could be 4-2 is because it depends on where things are in that last game of the season. Do we have the division locked up or a seed locked up? So, but yeah, 5-1 and 4-2 for me in those last six games.
Yeah. I mean, and let's say for argument's sake of actually trying to talk about with logic and reason of, you know, reasons that opponents can be difficult for the Chiefs. It's like you said, the Chargers, probably the best team in our division outside of the Chiefs. You know, their offense can put up points with anybody. Defensively, they got Joey Bosa, Derwin James. And then the Cincinnati Bengals, right? They're the team that I had as like a sleeper this year. Joey Burrow is amazing, as well as Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Mixon. And they're late in the season. I mean, I think they're going to be pushing the Ravens for potentially the division crown and definitely a playoff spot. So, you know, second to last game of the year for us, well, for everybody. So I think that'll be a potentially complicated game for the Chiefs. I mean, it's in Cincinnati, and just, you know, they tore up the Steelers. And I know we're not, let's say, like the Steelers, but like I said, they're a good team. And I guess if there's two teams that maybe there's a one or two losses to, it's the Chargers and the Bengals.
Yeah, I obviously I can't argue that one. And speaking of the Bengals, I don't know if you recall this. You probably do, but they always remind me of when the game that we had against them back in 2003. We're sitting there undefeated at 9-0. We go there to play a game, and I believe it's Chad Johnson has like a huge game, or someone on there. I think it's Chad Johnson. Someone has a huge game, and they end up winning, and we're not undefeated anymore. But I'll always think of that game when we play the Bengals, because we were just like rolling that year, and we're like, oh, we're going to go undefeated this year and everything. And then that with that game hit, and we lost our first game that year. But no, as far as the Bengals are this year, I completely agree with that as well. I think that could obviously be a game that it will be tough for the Chiefs, especially, like I said, in their division that they're fighting for as well. And that might be the best division in football this year, I think. You know, with the, like you said, the Steelers, Ravens, and Browns. Outside the Browns are now, well, they're not looking as good as they've been, just because Mayfield's got some injuries and just they got some problems on that team. But I still think that team, that division, is probably one of the best divisions right now. But yeah, with that being said, I mean, just depending on how things go and, you know, with other teams and also within our division, we're kind of just, you know, at this point in the year, we are just holding on for our own. I mean, we basically have the destiny. If we get there and we just win our games that we have the rest of the year, even if we might drop a game, you know, I think we could be looking at a second or third seed, you know, going into the playoffs. But I do think at this point, the way that the Chiefs are playing on defense, you know, offense is going to eventually just get there and click, especially with the teams that we play the rest of the year. I think you could say the Chiefs will probably end up in the playoffs, and I think we win the division.
Yeah, I mean, can't disagree with that.
But and when I guess I would say lastly is I think you kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier, but there's always one saying that you always hear is, and this is what Chris Jones says, is it's not how you start the year, it's how you finish the year. And the Chiefs recent time is they've finished well in the year. So that's why I can't go wrong with saying against that I believe that they're gonna be going back to the playoffs. I'm going to hold off as far as like how deep in the playoffs until the end of the year to maybe say more about that. But I definitely think that they will make the playoffs and we will be once again AFC West champions.
Yeah, I mean, and even deeper than that, right, is you look at the Bills and the Ravens, the disaster of a game that the Ravens just played, but they still won. It's just, I mean, and let's say Tennessee losing Derrick Henry for the year. It's wide open. You mentioned it earlier. On some of our podcasts that the stars are aligning and they sure have for the Chiefs. So, not only do I agree with the AFC West, but it looks like the Chiefs will get back to a deep playoff run and hopefully a Super Bowl, another crack at the Super Bowl within the last 3 years. So,
I just hope we have some home games at Arrowhead. That's all I really hope so. So at least if we have, a 1-2 games at Arrowhead, that's fine with me. But if we somehow, like I said, with the stars lying right now and towards the end of the year, they get aligned to where maybe we don't have the number one overall seed, but somehow that number one seed gets beat, and then we have another home AFC championship game. I mean, wouldn't that be unbelievable? I think we would be the first team ever to have an AFC championship game at home 4 years in a row. Would that be right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the Bills and the Eagles did back in the day whenever, they went to consecutive Super Bowls.
I think we tied them, but
I should say.
Yeah. I think we tied them for the most like home games, but I don't think anybody's ever had four, but I could be wrong though. But, to see that happen would just be incredible. If we would make it that far and to be home, but for me personally right now, I'm just kind of looking forward to just finishing out the year strong and we'll see how things go then.
Yeah. I mean, the Broncos game this weekend will be interesting. I think it'll be lopsided, but man, don't rule out those Broncos. They also beat the Cowboys and their defense is tough. So I think it'll be a defensive battle and, we'll get to chat about that one even more later on this week.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit more this week, but that's going to be an intriguing game to watch. Like you said, you can never count out we're both rivals, and their defense has always been consistently well over the years, too, as well. So they will definitely come to play at Arrowhead like they always do. Well, at least try to. They always do at least put a good effort up. So,
yeah, definitely. I mean, this is fun. Like, I like, whenever we just break down games, that kind of stuff can get repetitive and the numbers are what they are, right? You're kind of talking about things you've already seen. Mm-hmm. So it's good to get thoughts and opinions on things that you don't get normally out of everyone. So this was a fun episode, a lot of good content. This is going to be the episode where we get people on the bandwagon.
Yeah, let's hope so. We hope we get more listeners out of this one, right? So and I hope all you guys enjoyed it just as much as we did kind of break it down the season so far. And, like Rich said, this is, like I said, one of our best ones we've, tried to put together other than this, our normal ones that we've done, to start the year so far. So, so with that being said, that'll be it for today. We said later this week, we'll have our preview on the week 13 matchup against the Broncos on Sunday Night Football. So thanks again for everyone listening. Don't forget to follow our podcast and go Chiefs.